Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we have actually a special edition with a special guest going to be coming on, so we'll get into that in a second here. But this is politics we're going to talk about today. So, and we're going to talk about local politics, which can be even more important than the national politics. It's easy for us to figure out who's running for president. I hope you know who's running for president in our country. But it's much harder to find out who's running for some local things, like, in this case today, the Nebraska State School Board. And so today I've invited on both Liz Davids and Kristen Christensen to come on the podcast today. I have not heard back from Kristen, but I did hear back from Liz. And so we're going to have her on the podcast. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Pastor Shike.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to come. And so we're going to just toss up your campaign website for those who want to check it out. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's liz4nebraska.com. First of all, if you could tell us something about yourself and how it is you got to run for school board, tell us about that.
Sure. My name is Liz Davids. I'm married to Cody. We have five kids, ages 10 to 20 now, which is hard to believe. We met at UNL. We are both Huskers with music performance degrees. So I play the piano. He plays the trombone and euphonium. That's how we met. And we've been in Lincoln for the past, 25 years. It's been a great place to raise a family. About 3 years ago, the State Board of Education made a lot of news because they had some proposed health standards they were trying to pass. And that just perked my interest and got me involved. And so it's been 3 years of attending State Board of Education meetings, learning a lot about the systems and the processes, meeting a lot of great people, hearing from a lot of people behind the scenes who don't want to be known, who have shared their experiences, they've shared their stories. And sometimes they've asked, can you go put this on public record, either at the LPS meetings or the State Board of Education meetings, because they felt like they would be retaliated against if they said it out loud, because either they work for the school systems or they have a spouse that works for the school systems or their kids are in the school systems, and they didn't want retaliation, which is a very real concern, valid concern these days. And so it's been an honor to represent a lot of people over the past 3 years at the state board and at the LPS board. And so it was time to throw my hat in the ring and run for State Board of Education.
So when you run for State Board of Ed, are you campaigning all across Nebraska, or is it a smaller area? Is it Lincoln? How does this work?
Great question. So the State Board of Education has 8 members, and so the entire state is divided up into 8 sections. So I am running for District 1, which is Patsy Kojohn's seat. She is retiring, so it will be an open seat. And actually, all 4 seats that we'll vote on in November, on November 5th, all 4 of those will be new people to the state board. None of the incumbents are running again, which is pretty unique. So no matter who wins on November 5th, half of the State Board of Education will be completely new, no matter who wins. So it's pretty unique year, pretty important, pivotal year for our state schools. And District 1 essentially is like Central and North Lincoln, as well as Malcolm, Raymond, and Davie. The Western border is the district border. The north county border is the district border. And then on the east, the limit is 112th Street. And on the south is where it gets tricky. Going from west to east, on the western side, it's West Van Dorn. And then where that crosses with Nebraska Parkway, or Highway 2, as we call it. And then where that crosses with Old Cheney, everything north of that southern border. So I just refer to it as Central and North Lincoln, and then as well as Malcolm, Raymond, and Davie.
Okay. And then, so now I live south of Old Cheney. I live by Pine Lake Road. So would that put me in your district or out of your district?
Nope. You have to be north of that southern border. So you're not in my district. However, you are a valuable resource. Thank you for having me on this podcast, and everyone can always support the campaign by, you know, dollars, of course. This campaign costs dollars just like everything else, and also the volunteer hours. My volunteer team has knocked almost 10,000 doors at this point in time, which is pretty good. So it's a lot. We need 70,000 votes. So I've been told that I'll need to knock on 70,000 doors, which has never been done before, and then raise about $150,000. So $150,000 is a lot of fundraising. So everyone is able and welcome to participate in the volunteer aspect and the donation aspect. But then only the people that get to vote for District 1 are those who live within that Central and North Lincoln, Malcolm Raymond and Davie area.
Sure. Good. Well, let me ask, I got a couple of questions for you. Some of these come from our LPS teachers, Lincoln Public School teachers here at church. And like you said, they are oftentimes don't want to be identified because of fear of reprisal. So anyway, here they go. I've kind of anonymously gotten them from, we got a five or six teachers here that have kind of talked to me about various things. So some public school teachers that attend our congregations say that in general, they feel that schools are no longer holding students accountable, particularly since COVID. They see this happening and students realize they can pass classes without doing the work. And so they find a lot of student apathy. They're kind of frustrated as they went into teaching to prepare kids for the future. Have you seen this? And if so, what should be done about this?
You know, even the LPS superintendent said that his primary concern is the behavior of students and behavioral issues. So definitely across the board, we're seeing a lot of issues. COVID mandates did a number on our young people, and there's a lot of struggling young people. And there's a lot of teachers who are feeling burnt out. They're not supported by administrators. They don't feel paid adequately for what they're asked to be, what they're being asked to do. And so definitely teachers are overburdened and the student expectations have changed a lot. I know I talked to an LPS middle school teacher who said a student can pass through 3 years of middle school without doing a single assignment.
Wow.
So I think and you know, as a kid, you think, sweet, I'm gonna go through middle school and not have to do a single assignment. But as parents and adults, we know how much benefit there is in being required to learn things, required to be exposed to beneficial content, and all those academics, they have a purpose, right? They have a purpose, and those life skills trainings as well. So I think sometimes what happens is that the standards and statistics that a school district wants to be known for, a high graduation rate, a low suspension rate. What happens is that the boots on the ground say this child is being violent and threatening, and they send them out of the classroom. But then the administration in the office sends them right back into the classroom because, well, we can't suspend these children, otherwise our suspension rates will be high. And so the teachers are forced to deal with behavioral students. The behavioral students don't get the consequences, which teach us, right? So again, we're denying the children the best things for them. They need natural consequences. They need boundaries. They need healthy expectations. And so because we want to keep our statistics looking good, oftentimes the actual experience means that students who need help are stuck in a classroom, that teachers are stuck with students that need that extra help, and then they're just passed along and graduated without the academic and life skills needed for having a thriving life, a successful life.
So what can the Nebraska State School Board do about that? Like, what would be your proposals to deal with that?
Sure. So the State Board of Education has its own jurisdiction and does not seek to micromanage school districts across the state. Obviously, there's a lot of diverse aspects to each school district. You know, Lincoln Public Schools, Omaha Public Schools is not going to have the same needs or demographics that Western Nebraska is going to have. So they're very careful not to micromanage the school districts, but they can influence school districts, especially as regards how they rank the school districts. So in Nebraska, if you go to the Nebraska Department of Education website, you can see that every school district has a ranking. And it's at the top is excellent, and then great, and then good, and then needs support to improve. And if a school district gets into the needs support to improve category, then they do get micromanaged by the State Board of Education because they need support to improve. And I witnessed Schuyler School District get promoted out of that ranking at one of the State Board of Education meetings. And there was a lot of celebrating because I mean, no one likes to be micromanaged. So there's definitely incentive for a school district to stay out of that category. And so I think there's a lot of influence that can be provided to school administrators to say, you know, it's not about these statistics and how you think you want your school district to appear. It needs to be about the actual experience of the teachers and students. So I think we can modify how we qualify these school districts for certain levels of quality and take into account different dynamics. And I know they're having that exact discussion right now. We'll see what the results are. At this point on the State Board of Education, 8 members, 3 of them are conservative and 5 are very leftist. And so when I started speaking before the board, there were 0 conservatives on the board. So this is a much more welcome board than it was 3 years ago, but it's still 3-5. And so—
And you would consider yourself conservative?
Yes, I'm definitely conservative. And my opponent in this race is definitely leftist. And so we have very different ideas about what we'd like to see the State Board of Education achieve and what things are good for kids and their parents and society in general.
So maybe I'll just go right to that. I'll play off of that. So you have very different ideas of what you'd like to see the state school board achieve. What are, 3 ideas that you'd like to see them achieve, and where would Kristen take it?
Well, we just both spoke at a Prescott PTO meeting, which was great to get to meet her for the first time. And we're completely on the same page with the principle of supporting teachers, retaining current teachers, and, you know, getting teachers in the classroom, promoting the career field of education, which has gotten a lot of flack, especially during the COVID years. There's a lot of wonderful teachers in our state, and our state does not look like some of the issues that you see on the national news. However, I would say those issues are present in our schools in some way, shape, or form. I would definitely not give parents or grandparents some kind of rose-colored glasses look. So the ways that we achieve these goals are just as important as the goals themselves, I would say. So my heart is to streamline the bureaucracy. When I talk to teachers and administrators and principals, it is pretty unbelievable how difficult it is to get good people into the classroom. For instance, one of the private schools in our area, they have a French teacher who grew up in France, got a bachelor's degree in France, came to America, taught in Arizona for 10 years, and Nebraska certification process will not recognize her bachelor's degree from France or the 10 years that she taught in Arizona. So she's a wonderful teacher. This private school hired her anyway, and she has to have another certified Nebraska teacher in the room at all times when she's teaching. So those kind of ridiculously burdensome processes need to be streamlined. Maybe the things that, you know, maybe the principles they set into motion in 1980 made sense for the culture, the issues surrounding teaching certification in 1980, but 44 years later, we need to update and modernize things. So there's a lot of red tape and unnecessary burdensome bureaucracy that goes into even teachers from Colorado. When they come to Nebraska, they have to jump through all these hoops. Well, your Colorado teacher certificate is not good enough for Nebraska. You need to go student teach for a semester, which costs them money. And then you need to take 16 credit hours, which costs them money, before we will recognize you as good enough to teach in Nebraska. However, Nebraska teachers can just cross the border and teach in Colorado day one. So there's a lot of processes that I'm not sure what the motivation is behind, but what the outcome is we're lacking good people in classrooms, and teachers are leaving the field of teaching entirely because a lot of the education or the behavioral issues is a major reason. And then not feeling supported, not feeling like the compensation package matches what they're being asked to do. And so I think the teacher shortage crisis is number one in my mind and heart, because we can't have good quality public schools without wonderful teachers in them. And so then that leads to our students' proficiency scores. You know, our students are not going to be benefited when our teachers are leaving and they're feeling unsupported. And so they, you know, they have less teachers to work with and larger classroom sizes, all of those things.
So, thanks for sharing that. The teacher shortage And one of the things you mentioned was pay for teachers. Mm-hmm. And of course, that leads me into property taxes. So that's where a lot of the pay comes from, is property taxes. They're in the news all the time. So we want to raise teacher pay. They're raising the next generation. So that's, I don't know who would be against that. I suppose some might be, but I'm not. So raising teacher pay is great. How do we do that? Taxes are going up and up and up. So what's your sense of that? Where does the money go when we pay those taxes? Is it going to the right place in schools, or is it going to the wrong place? How do we correct that? Tell me your thoughts on that.
Yes, thank you. My three platform planks of my campaign are academics, and then collaboration with parents. We want parents to feel confident when they send their kids to school that the students that they send are not being interfered with, that their family's belief systems are not being interfered with, but that the schools are partnering with the parents. And then transparency and funding is huge. Yes, we pay across the state exorbitant property taxes, and 60 to 70% of those property taxes goes to our public schools. And we want to know how they are using that money. And we want the boots on the ground paid so that they like their job, they feel adequately compensated. And what we're finding nationally, and Nebraska is no exception, is that over the past 20 years, the number of students and teachers has risen by 8%. The number of staff members has risen by 33%.
Oh.
And the number of The number of administrators has risen by 88%.
Wow.
And this is sustainable. It's just unsustainable, because in Nebraska, it's a very complicated TEOSA formula, but it has to do with how many students are in your schools. And so if your student population is not increasing by 88%, you can't increase any other number by 88%. It just doesn't work. It's common sense math, right? So what we want to see is, again, the State Board of Education can influence public school districts to make budget cuts as far from the classroom as possible. Our primary focus is that direct student involvement is the priority. So I'm sure there are lots of wonderful administrators that are good at what they're doing, but that's not more important to me than the students who need good teachers. And so we need good teachers. We need good paras. We need good bus drivers. I recently heard from a special ed para teacher here in Lincoln that their middle school is cutting half of the paras in the special ed program. Mm-hmm. And that not only, obviously, the quality of that program is going to go down, but there are legal requirements for special ed students to receive their legally required allotment of minutes that the special ed teacher has to provide for them. Mm-hmm. And so if the special ed program is being gutted because of budget, and then the special ed program does not require the legally required amount of minutes, then the special ed program can get sued by parents. Mm-hmm. So right now, LPS just is now under investigation, just lost a lawsuit to the Department of Justice because they didn't provide the services that they are legally required to provide to deaf and hard of hearing students. Mm-hmm. So again, I'd much rather do the budget cuts on the front end as far away from the classroom as possible, instead of the budget having to pay for a lawsuit that is won, as it should be, by parents who say, you didn't provide the federally required services to my student. I mean, LPS has a team of lawyers. They certainly know what the requirements are. So it's disappointing when you hear about more administrators for $96,000, and then you know that that equals two teachers' salaries. So for my part, I'd rather have two teachers with boots on the ground instead of another administrator in the district office on O Street.
Okay. Good. That's good. Some good thoughts there. Last question. And this has to do, I don't know how this, I guess you can comment on this, or it's not a public school issue, but it's more of a non-public school issue. The last couple of years, the Nebraska legislature has dealt with school choice and having some kind of school choice mechanism for parents and families. We were the last state of 50 states to deal with that. And I don't think dealing with it is over yet. It's going to probably come up on the ballot again in the fall. But obviously there's some strong feelings on both sides of this. Some people just vociferously against having school choice in Nebraska, others strongly for it. What's your sense of that? Just give some comments on that, if you would.
Sure. So what I know about 1402 that was just passed is that it allocates $10 million to private school tuition funding. Mm-hmm. By my calculations, I'm not an expert, but by my calculations, $10 million is 1/6 of 1% of what Nebraska spends on public schools every year.
So almost nothing.
And we know that a lot of the majority of the families who will be able to take part in those scholarships are poor, so impoverished families, often single parent families in inner city Omaha. So mm-hmm. this is supposedly the demographic that the Democrats care most about. And yet we see them just not being willing to give an inch. They will not give 1/6 of 1% to struggling families who are stuck in school districts where they are underserved. And honestly, this is a bipartisan issue. This is not a political issue because Democrats have voted for this bill. So it's not even, well, this is a Republican issue versus a Democrat issue. This is a concerned people who see the writing on the wall. At one point, one of the senators opposed to Nebraska school choice said, well, it will take 50 years to make the school systems better, but that's okay. And, you know, we've got Democrat senators that said, look, these kids don't have 50 years. Right. You know, they're stuck in struggling schools right now. And so we need to get some kind of school choice in Nebraska. So Nebraska is one of the last two states in the country to have a school choice law be passed and enacted. So I'm excited for struggling families to have options. You know, we have military spouses, we have, you know, broken families, we have disabled parents, all sorts of situations that need an extra helping hand and can't afford to. I've been told the phrase is, you know, in Nebraska, the only school choice is what you can afford. So a lot of these families don't have the money to move into a better school district or to send their kids to a private school from 100% of their own funding. So this really, to me, speaks to the most vulnerable children in the most struggling schools. How do we help them? And I think when you have either $10 million, which again, by my math is 1/6 of 1% of what we spend every year on our public school system, when you have less than 1% going to a scholarship program, or if we had 753 stay on the books, that would have been private donations going into a public or a private school scholarship fund. I don't see where the panic is coming from. I don't see where the turmoil is coming from, especially if you combine it with, hey, school districts, make budget cuts of every kind whenever you need to make them. Make them as far away from the classroom as possible. We all have a family budget that we have to go by, and we have to make budget cuts sometimes. And so we have to live by our family budget. Why shouldn't school districts that are supposed to be accountable to the public, to the taxpayers, why shouldn't they also have to be accountable to their budgets?
Right. Well, Liz, thanks for coming on today. Thanks for sharing your heart for our kids in Nebraska. Love it. And the amount of work you're putting into this is got to be astronomical. So thanks to your family for their sacrifices to enable you to do this. It's never just one person, but it's a family together who makes sacrifices for this. And so just God's blessings to you as you seek to bless the kids of Nebraska. Certainly appreciate you coming on the podcast today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I hope people will go to the website, lizfornebraska.com. I send out emails on Mondays and would love to keep people in the loop. I'll be doing events all summer to help bring awareness to the current issues in Nebraska schools and just to keep people up to speed about my campaign, what I'm doing, but most importantly, what's going on in our schools and how we can make our schools the best in the country. So
great. Thank you. Well, thanks for being here. Appreciate it very much. Want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. As so we close the podcast today, let us know what you're thinking about this. If you need more information about elections, various elections in your area, let us know. We'll try to get it for you. So eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us today on the podcast.